So for instance, the same gift, that if a person is not born again and yet they stumble on a spiritual gift that God placed on the inside of them before they were born, that thing becomes corrupted and they can become like a I don't know, they call them clairvoyants or, you know, the whole sort of prophetic corrupted. There's the apostolic corrupted as well. There's certain people through history, you'll hear the apostolic in their voice, and yet they are demons.
Praise God forever. Hallelujah. I want to read a passage of scripture to you, and then just the subject that's on my heart this morning is maturity in Christ. The goal, that's the goal of the Spirit of God at work in our lives. Can you say amen? Yeah, the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 gives us an insight into some of the hidden things that happened at the cross of Jesus Christ, at that weekend, that 3 days and three nights period of where Jesus, as he prophesied, would be in the heart of the earth. And it's a very, very different scene. Paul the Apostle, you see, he called himself, and God called him, an apostle by revelation. And he's different to all the other apostles because he never walked with Jesus. He was a disciple under one of the high priests, a guy called Gamaliel, who would have been part of the council that sentenced Jesus to death. But Paul was in another part of Asia Minor at the time. He wasn't there when Jesus was walking the earth, when he was doing his signs and wonders, etc., in and around the Jerusalem, Judea, Galilee, Samaria area. He was off somewhere else. And when Paul got saved, he got saved by revelation. He received what he received concerning the Messiahhood of Jesus Christ by revelation. And so he has a completely different aspect to all the other apostles. The only other apostle who's like him in terms of the level of revelation he carried was John. So John was an apostle. He was an associate of Jesus right at the outset. And then he carried on. He understood that there is more to this thing by revelation. They call him the apostle of love. You know, that he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. There was something about that level of love that took John into higher levels of revelation after Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. So there's a lot we can learn from John and his revelation, but really and truly, we'll learn who we are, because we don't know who we are in Christ. We will learn more about who we are in Christ through the what they call the Pauline revelations, the books that Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, more so than any other thing. That's where we learn who we are. We don't know who we are. We think we're, you know, oh, my name's Johnny, and in 1995, I came to the altar, I gave my life to Christ, etc., 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 right? But the Bible, the Spirit of God, approaches our being from a completely different level, from a completely different point of view. He says, before I formed you, I knew you. He says, you've been predestined before the foundation of the earth to achieve this and that and the other. You know, we think we stumble across the supernatural. We think we stumble across the gifts of the Spirit. But these things have been put in us before we were born. In fact, God told me once, he said, one of the reasons why you can see destinies on people that are corrupted, but they're so supernatural, There's so many people through history that have had the supernatural call of God on their life, but because of the decisions they made, that destiny got corrupted and Satan used it to bring death and destruction and devastation rather than apostolic blessing and building or prophetic anointing or whatever. So for instance, the same gift, that if a person is not born again, and yet they stumble on a spiritual gift that God placed on the inside of them before they were born, that thing becomes corrupted and they can become like a I don't know, they call them clairvoyants or, you know, the whole sort of prophetic corrupted. There's the apostolic corrupted as well. There's certain people through history, you'll hear the apostolic in their voice, and yet they are demons. And that's where the thing originates. So thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God that he is leading us and guiding us and taking us in the right direction. Can you say amen? So I want us to see something about how and where we were born. Because the Bible says that we've been chosen before the foundation of the earth. That Christ was predestined to die for our sins, etc., etc., right? Now, look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 7. And we'll read through probably until verse number 14. I would think we'll stop there. So Ephesians 4, 7, it says, "But to each one of us favor was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." We're going to come back to that by God's grace. Verse number 10, "He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming." Oh, next verse. "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even the Christ." Hallelujah. Now, you can read that whole passage later on, because it goes on talking about our maturity, our each individual part, what we supply into this massive organism called the body of Christ that is effectively a representation and a reflection of Christ himself in the earth, right? But look at what's happened here. The Bible says in verse 7 that favor was given to us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Isn't that good news? So there's already a deposit of favor on the inside of us. And favor from God is a practical thing. It's something that you can put to work in your life for your good, for the establishment of what God's word says about who you are already, whether we feel like it or not. Anyone feel like a son of God this morning when they woke up? I felt like a coffee. I felt like I needed a latte and blah, blah. But Pastor P, aren't we fasting? Yeah, that's called Obroni fasting. We have lattes. Amen. That's another revelation. Praise God forever. Waffa's looking at me already. It says in the next verse, it says, "Therefore," it says, "when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." Look at that eighth verse in the Amplified, if you've got it there, please, Titus. Thank you so much. Ephesians 4, 8 in the Amplified. "When he ascended on high," verse number 8. "When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and bestowed gifts on men." Next verse. Does it say it? It must be in a different Okay, let's go there. This expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he had also previously descended from the heights of heaven into the lower parts of the earth? Now, I want to explain something to you about, because there's this period that a lot of people don't understand in Scripture. You remember Jesus said, he said that the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And a lot of people say, oh, that's a metaphorical thing. It's because we're not Jews. We think that way because we're not Jews. Because, you see, our calendar goes Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right, etc. It just keeps on going on that seven-day rotation. Right, okay. Now, in the Jewish calendar, it will have gone Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Sabbath, they call it, then Sunday, etc., starting again, right? But on high days, on a Jubilee year, there were two Sabbaths at the Passover. Interesting. Anyone hear this before? Okay. It's difficult and it's tricky, and I haven't got time to go into it now, but if you look really carefully, this will just feed you in terms of, you see, because when Jesus said, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth three days and three nights, that wasn't a metaphorical thing. Matthew chapter, and it's going to take some digging, and you can come to me afterwards, or I might stick it on, I might preach it one day, I don't know. Because you see, Christ is a man of his word. And anyway, Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 60 is where it starts. Between the 60th verse and chapter 28, verse 1, that explains it. Matthew, the Jewish festival expert, explains that whole timeline. And it's quite a fascinating thing. But that's the natural side of things. And I don't want to go into them this morning. I want to go into the supernatural side of things. John chapter 20 and verse number 17, I think it is. Let's throw up John 20, 17, and we'll see if I'm right there. Yes, perfect, and we'll keep it in the Amplified. That's great. Now, this is the resurrection day of Jesus Christ. Mary Magdalene is going to the tomb, and she's going to anoint Jesus. We all know the story, right? Jesus said to her this. He said, do not hold me. Or in fact, in the King James, it says, do not touch me, or touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Okay, so Jesus dies on the cross. If his spirit hadn't yet ascended, where had it gone? Ephesians chapter 4 tells us this in verse number 9. Now the expression, he ascended, you remember that scripture that says when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, right? Okay. In verse number 9, it says, now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? The lower parts of the earth. There's nothing that Christ cannot fill. There is nothing that he has not filled. The Bible says that Christ, in that time, he preached the gospel to the spirits that were held captive there. This mystery is very, very great. But the point of it is that there's nothing that Christ cannot fill. There's no part of lowness in your spirit that he cannot fill to the maximum and make you what he ordained you to be. How many of you, let me ask this question, how many of you, Christ has, how can I say this? Christ has taken you further, not only than you felt you deserved, but he has taken you further than you felt you could ever get. That's him filling the lower parts of your spirit, because there's nothing he cannot fill. I never dreamt that I could have been the person today that I am. Now, I've got like way further to go. You know, when you're married to a woman like JoeNorton.com, Lord have mercy. Like, the bar is high. I mean, I was thinking about it this morning. You know, Joe is patient. Joe is kind. Joe is not jealous or boastful or proud. She doesn't act unbecomingly. Literally, I'm like, wow, I'm going to follow in this woman's slipstream in terms of the character work that God has done on the inside of her and the example that she is. So I'm like continually challenged to get there myself. Anyone else feel that way about your spouse? It's like your spouse is just further on than you. There's sometimes like, and may the Lord keep her blinkered that way, that she thinks that I'm further on than her in certain things. Thank God, it's the only deception we allow in our household. Praise God. But that's what maturity is like, that we see the parts in the people around us that we wish we could become more like, and knowing that there's nothing that he can't fill. If he's descended down into the lower parts of the earth, if he's ascended to the very heights, then we're somewhere in between, and Christ can fill us as a result. Can you say amen? So there's that pressing into the character blessing that God wants us to have. And there's nothing standing in the way, not even hell itself. That's such good news. I mean, for people like me, you know, I probably, like Paul the Apostle said, you know, he said, talking about, he said, I'm the chief of sinners. Well, if he's the chief, I'm probably deputy chief in terms of, you know, just like being a rank, like, nonsense burger of an individual. But there's something that Christ sees that he can fill, that he can make me greater, and he can make me better, and he can fill me to the extent that I reflect him more. And that gives me great, great, great encouragement. Can you say amen? So this pressing on to maturity, look what he says here. He says he gave gifts to men in verse number 8 of chapter 4. And then in verse 11, it says, and he gave some. And then it says in verse 12, for the equipping, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith of the knowledge to a mature man, it says in verse 13. Unto a maturity. There's a call of the Spirit of God leading us to maturity. And how many of you know that, like, maturity in Christ is one of the most difficult things to attain, because it means all the rough edges have to go, all those little bits of me. But I, the unholy Trinity. And then for many of us, God puts people around us that then, like, anyone ever annoy you? Yeah, you see, what is that? If Christ on the inside of you is calling out to be a better person, right? Lord, make this person a better person. Then things on the outside, God uses to temper off, to hone. So that's why family can be sometimes a very difficult place to be. You know, we're not the first. Look at Adam's family. I mean, the kids are killing each other. Cain, like, bopping Abel over the head or whatever. And dysfunction in the very first family that's on planet Earth. And so what hope for us are. But Christ has already taken us into that maturity journey. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God. Father, my prayer for every one of us today is that this work of maturity will continue. I love that scripture when Jesus said, he said, Mary, touch me not. He said, because I have not yet ascended. So there's something in that scripture in Ephesians 4, there's something of a victory parade in the realm of the Spirit. Because my Bible says he led captive a host of captives, literally taking them from one place to another, ascending into heaven. Now, many people believe, you see, that heaven itself, the place of God, wasn't yet open until Christ came and made the way. You can argue theologically and blah, blah, blah. To be honest, I'm not really too interested about it. I could give you a view on the thing, you know, about Christ preaching to the spirits that were captive there, etc., and then going off in this massive ascending train. And that explains, you remember the rich man and Lazarus story, where Jesus is saying a certain rich man dwelt in a particular place. And, you know, they talk about that, the poor man, Lazarus, going to paradise, to the bosom of Abraham, that paradise was effectively the upper region of the lower parts of the earth. And he's being held there in Abraham's bosom. In other words, he died in faith. That's where people who died in faith effectively waited for the Jesus train to ascend. Does that make sense? And so there's. Do you like that kind of stuff? I'm like, I got a Bible full of it, and it's like, but because it doesn't entertain me, I want to, like, my spirit is always geared towards getting heaven down in here, but it's like I can feel that pull on the inside of me now. So this is what is happening. Christ is going into that region, and he's preaching the messianic reign. They are effectively in the upper regions of, they call it the upper regions of hell, called paradise, because there's a great gulf fixed between. Do you remember the story? The rich man and Lazarus. The rich man is down in the lower parts of hell in the fire, and Lazarus is sitting there at the bosom of Abraham, which means he died in faith because Abraham is the father of faith. And then Christ comes, preaches the redemptive message, etc. And the Bible says, in fact, Godfrey mentioned it last time he was ministering, talking about the spirits of holy men coming up and being seen in Jerusalem around the time of the resurrection, etc. Well, many scholars think that was the ascension party ready to go up into the third heaven, the paradise of God, which Christ opened by his blood. Hallelujah. But to me, you see, the important thing of it is that Christ fills everything. The Bible says that he might fill all and in all. So nudge your neighbor or turn to your neighbor and tell him, the lowest parts of you, Christ can fill. To me, that's the message. That's the resurrection message behind everything, is that there's nothing he cannot fill. There is nothing that he cannot invade and put his kingdom right there. Praise Jesus forever. He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You see, gates are fixed, right? That means heaven will come right to the gates of hell. We're going to park our tanks on the devil's lawn. Hallelujah to Jesus. We are the ones intimidating hell. We are the ones intimidating the devil. Why? Because Christ has filled everything. I love what Jesus said before he goes to the cross. He said, you know, the prince of this world is coming. He said, but I'm not bothered because he's got nothing in me. In other words, there's no just cause for him to touch me. Now, when we are in Christ, we are that same way before him. Spotless and righteous, untouchable by the enemy. The only way the enemy who can touch us is by deceit. If we don't know that by Christ's wounds we were healed, if we don't know that Christ has made us the head and not the tail, if we don't know that salvation belongs to us, if we don't know that we have become kings and priests unto our God. So that's the realm of light. The Bible says that Jesus, by his sacrifice, condemned those spirits. And they have been held, Peter says, in chains under darkness. Right? So you imagine, let's say, for instance, that Wafapi is a Rottweiler of a dog. Anyone like those things? There's some dogs I love, and there's other dogs I kind of get skeptical about looking at them, because I sit, look in their eyes and they think, like, I can tell that they're looking at a T-bone steak wrapped in human flesh. And exactly, forget it. And so let's say, but he is on a chain. And I am standing here, and that chain brings him as far as this line here. Right? That's the separation line between light and darkness. As long as I stay in the light and as long as I stay in that position, it doesn't matter how ferocious and how vicious he is held in chains under darkness. It's only if I step into the realm of darkness that he then can eat my lunch. Do you see what I'm saying? And that's the realm that Christ has given us. He has given us the realm of light. And as long as we stay in the light, there is no opportunity for darkness to invade at all. That's the resurrected power of Christ, that literally he is filling all and he is in us all and he is taking us on this journey called salvation. Hallelujah to Jesus. That was the most spagbol Resurrection Sunday message I think I've ever preached, but I pray you got something out of it, and you'll probably have to listen to it time and time again. Would you like to stand to your feet? We're just going to thank God for his word. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, look, God, we thank you for the resurrection power of Resurrection Sunday. We thank you that he who ascended is also he who descended into the lower parts of the earth, that he might indeed fill all things. And Lord God, we present all these things to you. We present ourselves to you just as we are. Lord God, we probably should be more shining examples of Christ in our character. But we know, Lord God, this journey of salvation is not over. The Lord God, we have the opportunity to become mature. Father, we thank you for the apostolic, the prophetic, the pastoral, the evangelistic, the teaching ministry, for the perfecting of the saints. Thank you, wonderful Jesus. Thank you for what you do on the inside of us through the acceptance of those ministries. We bless your holy name today, and we thank you for this Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate Jesus, risen from the dead, who ascended into heaven, presented his blood at the altar, at the seat of mercy. Thank you, wonderful Father, for that sacrifice, Lord God. We baptize ourselves afresh in it today, in Jesus' mighty name. Right now, under the sound of my voice, if you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus your Lord, or you backslid away from God and you want to rededicate your life to him right now, I just want you to put your hand up to say, Pastor Pete, please pray for me. I just want to rededicate my life to Christ. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I thank you for the capability that you've given us, Lord God, in that sacrifice. Thank you, Father, that you're not finished with us, that this character work will go on and on and on and perfect us, Lord God, in Christ Jesus. We give you praise and we give you glory and we give you honor for it in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. And amen.
Amen.